Good morning. The boys and girls will be happy. I have a lot of pictures in here, okay? A lot of things to put up for you that are very interesting. And I didn't know the children were going to be in here, but you know what? It's designed that it'll keep their attention today, all right? It will help them a lot. So I have some really cool pictures, boys and girls. And I'm going to talk to you about the dinosaurs, and we're going to tell what really happened to them. It wasn't a meteor. Okay, it wasn't a meteor that killed the dinosaurs. We're going to talk all about them and show you some really cool pictures. Turn to Genesis chapter 1, if you would. It is the story of creation. The Bible is accurate in every area of life. If it's science, archaeology, history, geology, psychology, the Bible is always right. It contradicts the fairy tales of evolution, and I'm going to show you that they're fairy tales. And I've told my professors that. I've been in a number of state universities, and the first thing we do is argue about the Bible and what is truth. When they get up and say, there, it's 4.5 billion years old, I say, excuse me, but it's not. And we start it right from day one with a head-to-head blow with the lies of false teachings of evolution. So, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning of time, the Bible is declarative. You know your English parts of speech. And this is a declarative sentence. He always was and always will be. He is eternal. God is. And he says that in the beginning, God was there and was always there. And we accept that by faith. And he's shown us clearly that he is present today in everything that happens in our universe. We know that to be true. There's someone who kind of confirmed this. Let's see if it works here. Is my button working? Help me out here. I'm going to get the picture up of Albert Einstein. Okay, good. This is interesting because this was a Nazi German Jew. And when the Nazis took over Germany, he fled to America and brought us his great wisdom of science. And he said, the more I study science, the more I believe in God. So if he's one of the smartest men in the world and he sees God, then clearly God is in nature and God is in science. When you study real science, you see a designer and a creator. You see there is a God. And for people to deny that, they're just denying facts. It's just there. You can see it. God is sovereign. And this word God is Elohim. We find the Trinity in the very first verse of the Bible. Elohim is God in the plural. It's not God in the singular. It's God in the plural. And so when we look at verse 26, it says, and let us create man in our image. Who's us and our? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so we have the Trinity declarative right in the beginning of the Word of God. And then bara, he created it out of nothing. We can't understand that. We put something together. We have materials to build something. God made it out of nothing. Simply his word was all he gave, and it was there. I have a couple of antique clocks, and I couldn't fix it. I tried my best. I had to take it to a clockmaker. And there's so many little springs and wheels and gears in there. Can you imagine if we took all of them out and put them in a bag and shook them for a million years, would those pieces ever fit together by themselves? No. And so when you study science and you see the laws of nature and you see the laws of our universe, you realize it didn't happen by chance. It wasn't a big bang. It wasn't an explosion. It was by a holy God who had full control over creation. And the Bible says Jesus was also involved in creation. And we see it again when it says, let us make man in our image. Now it says the earth was formed without form and void. Some people do. You might believe in the gap theory. I don't. The gap theory is between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, there was millions of years, and that's where the dinosaurs came in. No, God tells us where the dinosaurs came in, right here in this book. He tells us where. But people try to take science, so-called science, and the Word of God and try to put them together and come up with something. That's not how it works. God declares to us what he did. We just have to read it and believe it. That's all we have to do. Then there's theistic evolution. Theistic evolution says, well, God started everything, and evolution's taken over now. No, that's not true either. There are a lot of lies out there. There are a lot of things that are just plain false. And when we study science, we do see that God was there. So I don't believe in a gap theory. And you might. One of the teachers that believed in that was Schofield. C.I. Schofield was an attorney who became a Christian. And he produced the Schofield Bible, which a lot of people don't have now, but it was popular. And he was a proponent of the gap theory. Now, let's talk a minute about the age of the earth. It is, at the most, 10,000 years old. It is not millions of years old. There's all kinds of scientific evidence that we have a young universe, not an old universe. I want to give you something I hope you never forget. They always try to say that they show the age of the earth with carbon-14 dating. Okay, how does that work? For every atom of carbon-14, there's a 1 trillion other atoms. So there's one atom per 1 trillion atoms of carbon-14. So our air is filled with carbon-14, and as we live, we absorb carbon-14, and when we die, our body releases carbon-14. So suppose you could take a bone and measure how much carbon-14 has been released, and it'll tell you the age of that bone, right? How much carbon-14 was in the atmosphere 100 years ago? Can you tell me that? Suppose it was 5% of the atmosphere. Would it change the dating age of that bone? How about 1,000 years ago? Maybe carbon-14 was 10% of the atmosphere back then. Can you tell me what carbon-14 was when those dinosaurs were around? Because if you can't tell me what the content was, then you can't tell me the age of that bone. You understand that? If you don't know what the content was in the atmosphere, you have no way of gauging how much carbon-14 was in that fossil. And so one day in my geology class in the university, the teacher started out 4.5 billion years. I said, excuse me, but that's not true. I said, Dr. Libby, the man who invented the carbon-14 dating method, went to a museum. And when he carbon-14 dated all the artifacts, he couldn't get past 5,000 years. She says, I want to talk to you after class. I said, fine. I went up after class. She says, what's your problem? I said, the problem is the fairy tales you're teaching in this class is science. It isn't so. She says, let me see that paper you have. And I gave it to her. She says, I don't want you to call on you again in my class. That's what you call academic freedom, isn't it? Academic freedom. In another class, the teacher got up the very first day and said, today we're going to talk about the myths of Christianity. The myth? Sir, excuse me, but there are no myths of Christianity. And we fought every day in that class. Every day. So halfway through the year, he says to me in front of the class, how do you expect to pass my class when you hold those views? Whoa. I said, excuse me, sir. Didn't you say that if we get all the work done, we'll get at least a C in this class? Yeah, he says, I guess I did say that. So guess what I got in everything I did? A C. I don't care how good it was, I got a C. So the very last paper we had to write, I told him how to get saved. I put it right in the middle of my paper. Dear so-and-so, you need Jesus. He calls me in. He says, I read your paper. Yes. He said, are you trying to convert me? I said, yes, I am. You know what I got for a grade in that class? A C. It's all right. I don't mind. But science, when you have the facts of science and you argue with these people, the truth is on your side. It's on your side. It's not on their side. It's on your side. Now, the Bible talks about the days of creation. The word day is yom, a Hebrew word, which means 24 hours. He created the world in 6 days, not 6 million years. Some people say, well, a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years. Yeah, but that's not the word he used here. He used the word yom. He used 24 hours. If he created the sun and the moon on one day, and then the plants on another, how the plants can live without the sun if it's 1 million years? He did the plants and then he did the sun. So when God says day, he means day. He means exactly what he said. Now, in verses 68, it talks about he divided the firmament, heaven from his creation. He's dividing the universe and splitting it up. And the firmament called heaven, and the other one below it, he called earth. Now, later, I'm going to show you some pictures about the water canopy that was around the globe. And the water canopy gave us a warm North Pole and South Pole. And that's why you have dinosaurs at the North Pole with grass in their stomach, because they lived up there. And the earth was warm all the way around like a greenhouse. And I'll show you that here in a bit, but not right now. And then God said he planted the plants, starting in verse 9. And verse 10, he brought the earth together and saw that it was good. And verse 11, he brought forth the grass and the herb yielding seed. Some of you might be farmers. And you plant corn, you get corn. You have an apple tree, you get apples. So when God gave us the vegetation, it produces what God meant it to be. Now, you can alter that. I had an apple tree that had 7 different kinds of fruit. The reason they did that, they grafted the tree. It still produced apples. It didn't produce pumpkins. And so when God made something, it was after its own kind. The animals produced its own kind. Remember that. The plants produced their own kind. We didn't have new mutations and new forms of life. It didn't happen. What God gave us is the way it stayed, and it stayed that way ever since. It didn't change at all. Okay, verse 14, he talked about the lights of the stars and the moon. And the moon is not a break off of the earth. You know, the earth had a big bang, and all of a sudden the moon just appeared out there. It's just crazy, the stuff they believe, and the stuff they teach is fact. I want to show you another picture here if my little thing will work. Help me out. Oops. Okay, DNA. I want to talk a minute about DNA. You have DNA that God has given you, and there's the ladder of DNA. And here's how much information is in your DNA ladder. If you take one book with 500 pages times 1,000 books, that's how much information is inside your DNA. 500,000 pieces of information. Now, do you think that happened by chance? You think that ladder just evolved all on its own? Do you really believe that? Do you know how crazy you are if you believe something like that, that just happened all on its own? There's not a designer integrated to put together our DNA. And no two people have the same DNA. No people have the same fingerprints. No two snowflakes are alike. No two zebras have the same stripes. We can go on and on and on. When you study science, you see God. You see there is a creator. And there's no way you genetically just came together all by itself, all on its own. It's impossible for that to happen. It didn't happen that way. I want to give you a statistic here. The probabilities that a blob could come out of the ocean and be a fully developed man, digestive, circulatory, reproductive, and that another blob could come out of the ocean and be a fully developed woman at exactly the same time, at exactly the same place on earth, the man could have evolved in Africa and the woman could have evolved in China. The probability that both of those blobs could come out at exactly the same time and exactly able to reproduce and have a human race is one with 40,000 zeros after it. It's impossible. That means, here's where the fairy tales come in, that means a male cow and a female cow had to evolve at the same time. A male pig and a female pig. A male dog and a female dog. A male horse and a female. You see how ridiculous that gets to be? That all these blobs can come out at the same time and be a male and female and have what we have here? Evolution is fairy tales. It's not even logical. It's not even scientific. When you study the fossil record, you see the instant appearing of life. Oh, they take a couple examples and try to put tails on them and lose their tail. And there is no evolutionary record for thousands of species. The bumblebee, the trilobite. There's so many different things you can look at. There's no evolution. There's the instant appearing of God said, and let there be, and there it was. That's what the fossil record proves. That's what it says. The fossil record doesn't lie. People do, but real science does not. Now, I want to show you something here in a minute. That little tiny blob way down on the left is Earth. We're that little tiny speck. A million Earths will fit in the sun. 1 million Earths will fit in the sun. And yet God knows you. He knows your name. He knows your problems. He knows everything about you. The heavens declare the glory of God. When we study science, we see God. And by the way, this is only a medium star. The sun is just a medium-sized star. It's not even a big star. One of the biggest stars is called Betelgeuse, you know, like you step on a bug and all the juice comes out. And it's 500 times bigger than the sun. It's 500 times bigger. That's a large star. This is just a medium star. And so as our planets rotate and stay in orbit, God is holding things there. Now, right now, do you know how fast you're spinning while you're sitting there? Do you know how fast you're spinning? How fast? About 700 miles an hour. If you're at the equator, it's 1,000 miles an hour. Now, while we're spinning, how fast are we going through space? Okay, we're spinning approximately, in Michigan, it's about 6,700 miles an hour. Our planet is going through space at 67,000 miles per hour. And we don't spin off. We don't fly away. You say, how can that be? If you're going down the highway doing 70, boys and girls, and you have a rubber ball in that car, and you're holding that rubber ball, is that ball doing 70 miles an hour? Is it? If you're in the car holding it, is that ball going 70? Yes. Does it look like it? No, because you're holding the ball. It's going 70 miles an hour. So as we look around, we can't see it because we're moving at the same speed. About 700 miles an hour and 67,000 miles per hour we're going through space to get around the sun. Only God can have all that in control. Again, when you study science, you see God. Here's another one that's really good, boys and girls. You'll like this too. All right, that's our Milky Way. That's our galaxy. When you look up in the sky and see that beautiful line of stars, we are that little tiny, that little yellow circle is all of us, our whole solar system and nine planets. By the way, I said nine planets. You know, Pluto is a planet, right? You know, when I was growing up, we had nine planets, and now they only got eight. They took one of them away. And the way we memorize them is you take the first letter of the planet. My very earthly mother just served us nine pizzas. And you get your nine. Now you go, my very earthly served us nine what? There's no P, there's no Pluto, there's no pizzas. Now you got to go with nuggets. See, now you got to stop at nuggets. Neptune. See, boys and girls, I knew you'd learn something good today. My very earthly mother just served us nuggets. Nah, nine planets. Anyway, that little yellow circle is the sun and all our nine planets. That's how small we are. We're a dot within a dot. And God knows every star by name, and that's just one galaxy. And how many galaxies are there, boys and girls? How many? Billions. There's billions of those. And the Hubble telescope has brought us some beautiful imagery. And God made it all, and he knows every star by name, and it's all being held together by God. When you study science, you see God. They get on their nature and your books and schools and lie to you and tell you how old the earth is, and it's just a bunch of lies. It's not true at all. It's not scientific at all. It's not accurate at all. And then God tilted our planet for us. He tilted it for us. That's how we get our four seasons. Summer, winter, spring, and fall. The earth isn't straight. It's tilted. And by that, we get our four seasons. A would be summer. B, C would be winter. And then spring and fall. And so, who controlled that? God. He's got it all in control, all under his hands. Okay, verses 20 through 23, he's starting to create the fowl and also the fish, the whales, everything that moves in the sea. Now, I want to show you some really cool pictures, kids. This is really cool. Some of that stuff down there at the bottom of the ocean, there's no light down there. And so these animals emit their own light. They glow in the dark. Am I doing this or are you doing it for me? You're doing it for me? Thank you. Isn't that cool? How'd you like stick your foot in the water with that thing down there, huh? And we're not done yet. Wait to see some more of them here, all right? Let's go to the next one. Isn't that cool? Those things are down there at the bottom, 2.5 miles down, deep in the ocean. There's sea life down there that God made. When you study science, you see a creator. Okay, next one, please. Thank you, young man. Now look at the teeth on that baby. Woo-wee! Now what he does, he has that little light out there to draw their fish in. That light illuminates and draws the other fish. He eats them. Anybody like swimming in the ocean? Next time you go, think about it. It won't be in Great Lakes, but it will be in the ocean. Okay, next one, please. Look at those things. See, they use that little thing up there to draw the other fish in and then gobble it down. This is one of the coolest ones coming up. One more, please. Look at that. Isn't that cool? It glows in the dark. It's fluorescent. God made things that way. When you study science, you see a creator. You see God. You see his design. You see what he did. And that gives glory to God too, does it not? He created us. There's no way the human eye ever evolved. It's too complex. There's no way. People are optometrists and study this say the eyeball could not have evolved. There's no way. How about the brain? They're the ones that got the lame brain, right? Those people. We got a good brain. I don't know about them. Now we get into the dinosaurs here. Okay, the next section, 24, 25, 26. God made the beast of the earth after his kind, the cattle after his kind, and every creeping thing, and saw that it was good. And verse 24, he made them after their kind, and it was so. So when did God make the dinosaurs? When he says he did. Every beast of the field. So dinosaurs lived with man? Yep. They were vegetarians in the Garden of Eden. They didn't eat people. They didn't eat each other. They weren't meat eaters. They were vegetarians like some people today. They don't eat meat. I love a Big Mac. I don't go that route, you know. Whopper, all that good stuff. Good steak on the grill. But they were vegetarians. And we have proof that they lived together, but I'm going to stop there a minute and try to explain this to you a little bit. When God created the world had a water canopy, and I'll be showing you that soon. I don't want to get to it yet. And it kept the earth's temperature the same. And so you had large animals, you had large vegetation. When the flood came and God brought the waters down and flooded the earth, the water canopy was gone. And that set in the ice age. And the North and South Pole froze. And we have dinosaurs trapped in ice at the North Pole with grass in their stomach. They didn't have, it wasn't a food issue. And it wasn't a meteor because they were drowned so quickly, they're fully preserved. It's like you drop them in water and freeze them. They didn't die slow, they died quickly. When you find all these dinosaurs buried in mud, how do you think they got in mud? When you go to the Grand Canyon, oh, this is a good one. I'm at the Grand Canyon, and we got to do a flyover. The Grand Canyon, it was so cool. And in the air, you can see where the waters cut into the mountainsides and swirled and went into the Grand Canyon. You can see it. It carved it out. There's crevices and there's swirls in the rocks, and you can see where the receding waters of the Great Flood cut through and made the Grand Canyon. It didn't happen over millions of years. It happened very quickly. Like when you see a tsunami or a flood and it carries houses away. It cut that cavern out quick. And so we get done with the plane ride and the guy gets out and explains to us how about the millions of years that he thought it took. I said, sir, excuse me. Here we go again, right? I say, excuse me, but I don't believe that at all. I believe that was caused by the receding waters of Noah's flood and it carved out that canyon. He said, well, this is off the record. It's his job, right? I've been flying over this canyon for 12 years. It hasn't changed one inch since I've been flying over. Whatever carved that canyon out was massive. Thank you. Thank you. He was telling me he agreed with me, but not telling me he agreed with me. It's cut out quickly, the receding waters of the Grand Canyon. And you look at the mesas out west. You look at the layers. How do we get our coal? From the flood. How do we get our gas? From the flood. How do we get our oil? Decompression that God gave it to us from the flood. There's so many things. When you study geology, you see God. You see his hand in so many things. And they try to twist it around and make it something it's not. It's not what they say at all. It's what it says right in the geological record. And I love arguing with those people because I've got the truth on my side. I've got it. And then it said, let us make man in our image. And there's a trinity. We are a trinity, body, soul, and spirit. We have three parts. Some people are dichotomous. I'm a trichotomous. I believe there's body, soul, and spirit. All three. Oh, I want to show you something before I get off the dinosaurs. Can you go to the next picture for me? Okay, this was found in Glen Rose, Texas. They were doing some road work, and they uncovered an ancient riverbed. And you have a human footprint and a dinosaur footprint side by side made at exactly the same time. It was made in limestone, and then the sun baked it and hardened it. The next picture, please. There is a human footprint right on top of that dinosaur print. They lived at the same time. The fossil record says so. Was there another one on the dinosaurs? Was there one more? Or not? No? Okay. So when the human walked down there and stepped next to the dinosaur footprints and then stepped in it, and then the sun baked and hardened it. So they got a bunch of evolutionists down there and they said, we want to show you these footprints. What do you think? But you know what they said? That can't be. What do you mean it can't be? There it is. It's in concrete. It's in stone. What do you mean that can't be? There it is. And so they took a couple of their shoes off and put their footprint in there to see if it was human. It wasn't monkey. It was human. Human footprint. And there it is in stone. The truth is on our side. What the Bible says is so. And you got to stop listening to the lies, and our poor boys and girls in school get fed this stuff day after day after day. It's really sad. Unless they're in a Christian school or homeschool. It's really sad what they're cramming down the throats of all our kids. And then nature does that. Everybody. Every time you watch something, it makes me so mad. Because I know it's not true. I know they're lying. What they're saying, it's not the way it is. Okay, can you bring out the next picture for me? Here's the water canopy. And the proof of it is in how you look back at ancient geology and archaeology, and you can see the earth was warm. And that also protected mankind from the deadly rays of the sun. When the Bible says somebody lived 700 years, they lived 700 years. Well, how can that be? Because when God made Adam and Eve, he made them to live forever, and they didn't have the genetic defects and diseases that we have today. Through the centuries, our bodies have decayed, our genes have decayed, and we lived 100. We're lucky. We have deteriorated. We are not evolving up. We're degenerating down. All the universe is. And so they lived that long. And one of the reasons was because they had the water canopy to protect them. But then you notice the next generation, they lived 100 years less and 100 years less until we get to Noah. Anybody been to the ark? Anybody been there? Okay, good. A few of you, good. Okay, he was 500 when he started building it, finished it when he was 600. That was actual age. So it's interesting. Whenever, whatever the Bible says is so, and you can count on that. Okay, so God created man in his own image, physically, in our character, in our holiness, in our intelligence. God created us in his image. We would have been immortal, but sin changed that. Our self-consciousness, our free will. God gave us all of these things. And God made Adam and Eve. He didn't make Adam and Steve. Or Angie and Eve. He made Adam and Eve. Our poor kids are being bombarded with this transgender stuff. It's terrible what it's doing to our young people. It's just, it's not so, kids. You have an XX or an XY. If you have an XX, you're a girl. And God made you that way. If you have an XY, you're a boy. It's in your chromosomes. You're made that way. I know some guys are effeminate. Some girls are manly. I understand that. But God made male and female. He didn't make male and male and female and female. I do not apologize for saying that because that's what the Bible says. We as Christians have got to stand up and speak the truth and stop being buffaloed by all these lies. It's just terrible what it's doing to our kids. I just feel so bad for them because it's confusing them. It's confusing these poor kids. And when God made man, he wasn't a hairy beast all slumped over with his knuckles dragging on the ground. Okay, I want to give you some examples of what they've done to come up with some of these monkey men. All right. Peking man was one of the first ones they found. At Peking, where they found him. And he was a fake, and all his bones are gone. They can't find him. Java man was made by Eugene Dubois. And on his deathbed, he said he took monkey and human bones and put them together and lied and said it was Java man. He lied. And on his death, will they tell you that in your science classes? No. Piltdown man is one of my favorite. They took a whole, I'm going to tell you what the piece is in just a minute, and made a man dragging his knuckles and all hairy and a big jaw carrying a club. You know what the bone was? The kneecap of an extinct elephant. It wasn't even human. And so they made this monkey man out of a kneecap of an elephant. It's just unbelievable what they've tried to pull over on us with all this false stuff. Nebraska man, this is a good one. Nebraska man, hairy, slumped over, carrying a club, big jaw, slanted forehead. They made that from one tooth. And then he found out the tooth was the tooth of an extinct pig. The lies, the deceptions, the devil's a liar. And they try to fool our people and our children. Neanderthal man, yeah, he was human. He was humped over. He's full of arthritis. That's why he's an old man. He didn't have a slanted forehead and a big jaw either. But he was slumped over and humped over. But his knuckles weren't raw from dragging on the ground. And so if there are truly missing links, there should be millions of them. We should see half monkey, half people all the time. This is a little poem that I thought real cute from an evolutionist. First, I was a tadpole when I began to begin. Then I was a frog with my tail tucked in. Then I was a monkey in a banyan tree. But now I'm a professor with a PhD. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I love to argue with those people, and they don't like me. But I'm going to stand up for my faith. I graduated from a Christian university. But I took a lot of classes afterwards and a lot of secular schools. And I just don't sit back and let it go. There's some quotes from some people. They said, someday We're going to look back and realize evolution was one of the greatest hoaxes in the scientific world ever. One of the greatest hoaxes ever that could happen. So I've given you a lot of things to think about today. Whatever the Bible says is so. Now I want to read you something. I was pastoring a church and I had one of my ladies get saved. And when somebody gets saved, the reason these people don't believe this is because they're spiritually dead from the neck up. Remember All in the Family, Archie Bunker? Remember his son-in-law? What do you call him? Meathead. He said, why you call him? He said, because you're dead from the neck up. And that's what's wrong with our politicians today. They're dead spiritually. They don't get it. And that's what's wrong with people in our science community that aren't Christians. And they espouse these lies is because they're dead from the neck up. They're spiritually dead. They're walking in spiritual darkness. And they don't get it. Here's what happens when somebody gets saved. And they come out of spiritual darkness. Holly says, I can feel the relief from the chains that were on my heart. I can't believe I was carrying around so much heaviness. I finally get it. And I see things for bad and good, holy and unholy. I even hear songs differently and scripture. My mind is clean and my heart is weightless. Thank you for being such an amazing pastor and for loving us all, not just me wholeheartedly. Holly got saved and she saw the whole world in a different light. That's what it takes for people to come, is they have to come to the truth. They have to come accept Jesus as their personal Savior. And then they get it, don't they? Amen? I hope this helped you today. Does it help build your faith? Does it help build your faith this morning? You see, this book is true, right? Everything it says is true. Okay, however you close your service, come on up, wherever you're going to close your service.